Hey guys, welcome back.
What's up, guys? So we're gonna be talking about the State Parks Department has obscure departments, I guess, within the agency.
Oh, definitely. And some, I don't know if I'd call this one obscure.
Well, I'm not obscure.
We have a representative of this department, so I think it would be a little rude to our guests to call it obscure,
well,
Neil.
Well, I think since a lot of these activities take place out of the parks, a lot of people don't know that we oversee this program. It's an important program to a lot of people out there, and as you'll find out, it's something that's relatively easy to get into. But who do we got here today?
So we have Mr. Matt Everhart here today. He is our resident OHB coordinator. And welcome in today, Matt. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, my name's Matt Everhart. I'm the State Off-Highway Vehicle Coordinator with Arizona State Parks and Trails. So,
well, it's good to see you, dude.
Do you work here?
I do.
I've
been in parks for about 4 years, 4.5 years now already.
Oh, wow. Your department's just so obscure. I don't think I've ever met you before.
I'm just saying in general terms, like, people don't know that, because it doesn't happen in the parks. I mean, but
I agree.
One thing that I think is a great idea that maybe you can back me up on this is if people were to want to take advantage of OHV trails, they could camp in our parks, you know, kind of use it as a home base and then, you know, go out and rip around the desert.
Yeah, we see a ton of that. I get probably 10 calls a week of where can I camp, where can I stay, and still access trails. And with having several parks throughout the state that have premier access to OHV trails, we do get a lot of folks that will camp in our parks with their side-by-sides, their dirt bikes, their ATVs, their Jeeps, whatever. And then they'll go out and experience the trails and then have a place to come back and shower and clean up and camp and spend time with their family and friends. So Arizona's OHV community is very diverse and very unique. We have roughly 40,000 miles of trails here in Arizona. And our GIS team, which is now one person, continues to take in that information from different land managers in the hopes that we can develop a statewide OHV mapping system that folks can use. So,
oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that community, because it sounds really awesome.
So every 5 years, we're required by law to do what's called a trails plan, which essentially guides our grant funding and how and what is important to the OHV community. We get input from land managers, we get input from the riding community, as well as other sister agencies. And based on our 2020 trails plan, which is good for 5 years, roughly 25% of Arizonans consider themselves off-highway vehicle users, which, based on our population, is about 1.8 million people.
Wow, that's impressive. So that's a lot of people.
It is. It really, yeah. What would define an off-highway vehicle user? Because I don't have an OHV, but I have a four-wheel drive truck.
Exactly.
So I identify as an OHV user.
Yeah, so basically we look at off-highway vehicle users as just that, four-wheel drive users. Dirt bikes, side-by-sides, and ATVs is kind of our all-encompassing definition of off-highway vehicle users. And even those folks that, you know, may not have a vehicle, but they go out and ride with a friend, a family member, whatever, cousin, you know, those folks would actually increase that number because they're going out and participating in that recreation, but they might not actually own their own off-highway vehicle. So we estimate, you know, 1.8 based on our trails plan, but we're sure that with COVID and with the number of folks that ride with family or friends or whatever, that number is probably much higher.
And, oh, yeah. You know, that's a, if you can really call it that, I guess a silver lining, if you will, to the whole COVID thing. In my opinion, more people are getting outside. They're enjoying.
Not just in your opinion, it's PAX.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So.
Well, okay, I do have a question. I drove a Jeep through a McDonald's drive-thru once. Does that make me an OHVer?
Not necessarily.
Did you run over the curb or anything? Because I think that
if you went like through a dirt lot to get to the McDonald's, maybe, but no, not typically.
There may have been a curb, but I drove a golf cart off-road once.
Okay, there you
so,
go.
So, you know what? I do. I identify as an OHV user.
Nice.
And I think what? I count.
I think, Randy, that it'd be easier than you think to actually get into it.
Yeah,
you
know, I think so too.
Because
I mean, I love a Jeep.
Yeah, I mean, just go out and buy a Jeep, you know?
Right.
I mean, no, but you can rent these OHVs at different places. You know, go out and rip around the desert.
Right. Tell us about that. Tell us how we get into it.
Well, we don't want people to rip. We want people to ride responsibly and safely. Annually, the off-highway vehicle industry contributes $2 billion to Arizona.
Dude,
and,
nice.
In looking at our numbers for 2020, we saw an increase of about 20,000 off-highway vehicle registrations here in Arizona. So we're interested to continue to watch the numbers as COVID has impacted the recreating public as a whole, hiking, biking, off-roading. But we've seen a huge spike in off-highway vehicle use in that 20,000 resident riders that have registered above. So we have, you know, last year we had over 150,000 registered vehicles. And we have several partners that have told us that they can't even keep up with the inventory at their stores. So it's really booming. And I'm sure that that $2 billion mark is going to be much higher as, you know, more folks get into the sport and continue to recreate. And
now, hold on here. I think Matt's...
That was aggressive, Neil.
Matt's flexing with these billions of dollars because I said obscure earlier.
Yes, I think I really do think he is. But here's the thing is that... It really is. It's a really great, and COVID-wise, it's a safe thing to do right now. You're in the outdoors. You're in your pod in your car. So, like, tell us 100%. A little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, with COVID, a lot of people are seeking new ways to recreate, and off-highway vehicle use is a great way to do that. It allows you to be socially distant, like you said, and still get out and experience nature. And you can go, like you said, in your small family group, you can load up 4 people, and you could go and... You could see sights and be home for dinner. So it's a great resource and a great opportunity for folks that are looking for new things to do. And we have a lot of resources available to folks that are new to the sport. We have what are called Show Me Rides through our OHV Ambassador Program, where we introduce new and inexperienced riders to riding areas throughout the state.
And we'll put links to those resources Matt's talking about in the show notes.
Absolutely.
AZstateParks.com/OHV is a good place for them to start.
Yeah,
right?
It's a great starting point. We have tons of information there. We have maps. We have GIS information if you want to download the tracks or the maps that we have ridden before.
Well, and there's even like cool videos. We put a GoPro on the front of a side-by-side, and you can kind of ride through the desert with you as you go.
Yeah,
so those are really fun.
Yeah, we've done all kinds of promotional videos and marketing materials for the off-highway vehicle community. There's a lot of great apps out there that allow you to capture your adventures while you're out riding and make your own home videos and stuff. So there's the possibilities with off-highway vehicle use are really endless.
Yeah. And you do have a really good, online community too, because you guys have a Facebook page, right?
Yeah. So our off-highway vehicle ambassador page, it's really blown up. We have over 2,000 followers now.
Awesome.
And we're hoping in the near future, once COVID kind of dies down, we'll be able to really start engaging that community. Back in November, we did a couple rides, and then the numbers really started to spike. So we had to stop those because those are super popular. We have anywhere from, you know, depending on the ride, 50 to 100 vehicles. And you multiply that times 2, 3, 4 people in a vehicle, you know, you got 200 people out. And it just got to a point where it was unsafe. So we had to put those on pause. But what we've really tried to do is have those rides that we have done in the past be available on our website to where you could download that information. You could go take that same beginner ride that we have already done in the past, and you could go out with your new machine and a couple friends and go ride it and have the information to feel confident in where you're going so that you're not getting lost.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because we do have those rides on our website on the Where to Ride page, and you guys have uploaded dozens and dozens of those things throughout the state. Like, if people want to go explore the forest, there's options for that. If they want to go to southern Arizona, there's options for that. Big Lake area, something we were talking about before the show. Love it. Have you ever been around Big Lake, Randy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you have.
I love Big Lake. Yeah.
It's amazing over there.
Yeah, that area is one of my favorites in Arizona.
Yeah.
Lots of. And that's a good lead-in. Like, can you tell us about some of your favorite rides in Arizona? I know you've done a bunch.
We've done a ton. The Big Lake area is great. Tons of wildlife up there. I mean, we saw elk, we saw deer, we saw antelope in the grass.
Oh, Neil started to get excited.
Yeah, it's awesome over there.
Yeah.
I'll be up there in April with my daughter's trout fishing and turkey hunting.
Oh, nice.
And even, you know, over near Munns Park and Stoneman Lake, Great riding opportunities in the summer.
What area is that in?
Just straight up I-17, Munts Park, wow. Stoneman Lake, up towards Lake Mary, things like that. There's great opportunities within an hour and a half of the valley when super hot in the summer. And then like times like right now when it's, you know, much nicer weather down here in the valley, there's, I mean, probably 8 or 10 riding areas that are within an hour of the valley. You know, you got Bumblebee, you could go up to Table Mesa, the Boulders area.
Table.
Yep. What's that one over by Wickenburg that everybody, we got really good feedback on?
Vulture Mountain. We've done Vulture Mountain. Yeah. We've done Jackass Flats off of Castle Hot Springs Road, which, funny story there, but that's, we'll get into that.
Ooh, is that bit. The story?
That's the
story. Oh my gosh.
This is a fun story.
I know. I didn't know if we were going to talk about this.
I know. It's a little obscure as a story. Yeah, we like to... We like to give Matt a hard time about it.
I guess if we're going to talk about it, we'll talk about
it. Let's get into it.
Yeah, go for it. Let's just get it out of the way.
Yeah, so...
confession time.
One of our show me rides, about 3 years ago, I was new to parks. We were riding north of Carefree Highway off of Castle Hot Springs Road, doing one of our show me rides. We were, you know, I was with my supervisor. We were kind of in the middle of the pack, and... We were riding down a sandy wash, and I was driving and lost control of the vehicle, and we actually rolled, by our approximations, 2.5 times. Wow. But because we were wearing our safety equipment, we were both able to walk away. We both got knocked out, and I broke 4 ribs. But by all accounts, with our 4-point harnesses and our helmets, gloves, over-the-ankle boots, all of the proper safety equipment, we were able to walk away and, you know, walk ourselves into the emergency room to get checked out.
And then you still got to come back to the office on Monday.
And I was back to the office.
Even though your boss was in the car with you, huh? Yeah.
Not something you want to do with your supervisor in the vehicle, but.
No, but that's a really good point to bring it up is, because it is a relatively safe form of outdoor recreation. It really is. Mm-hmm. And you guys can't see my hand signals, but I'm doing them. But. It is a safe form of outdoor recreation, and there are all these safety precautions in place. There's regulations to help keep you safe. But just as anything else in life, things can happen.
Yep.
You know, so that's something you have to rely on your safety and your training to ensure you're okay.
Yeah, and you know, that's why we recommend people wear helmets. Helmets are required for anyone under the age of 18. And so we're still working to get the adult population that rides to wear helmets because they do save lives. I mean, there's not a question in my mind that, I mean, with how hard we impacted, that I wouldn't be here if I was not wearing a helmet. So, you know,
we're really glad you're here, Matt.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think my pride was more bruised than anything with being the OHV coordinator and getting in a rollover in a side by side. But you know,
but you weren't speeding or anything.
No, it's just the
it happens.
We hit a bump, and the next thing I knew, the rear tires were next to me, and I'm like, okay, well.
And your boss is unconscious, and you're like, oh great, my life is over.
It was scary, and
with, just my livelihood. My life is fine.
And with, you know, with side-by-side accidents, a lot of the things that you'll see is you'll see people, you know, stick their arm out or an arm will fall out and then, you know, it gets crushed under the vehicle. And, you know, we hear stories all the time of people losing fingers, hands, arms, you know, so it can be very dangerous. And honestly, that was the first thing I looked for, was to make sure both his hands were in the vehicle, because we landed with his vehicle on the, you know, side of the ground. And I'm just hanging there and yelling at him, and both of his hands were on his lap because he was holding the iPad with the mat. So
okay, that's good.
That's very good.
We were fortunate that, you know, we were able to walk away the way that we did. But I attribute that to the 4-point harnesses and all the safety equipment that we were wearing.
So. And just the way these OHVs are designed, they're designed to keep you safe with that full roll cage and padding in different places and handles to hold on to.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really good point that... it is easy to get into, but you should prepare yourself. You should do your research, educate yourself, make sure that you know how to be safe, especially if you're new to the sport.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that brings me to another point. We've started a great program with Nash Power Sports as well as Ride Now Power Sports. We're kind of piloting an education program or an information program with Nash Power Sports 3 locations and Ride Now Power Sports 8 locations statewide, where we've put together over 1,000 information bags So folks can have information to contact us at Parks or Game and Fish or State Land. They have information on how to sign up for a safety course. There's tons of maps in there. We have, I think, 20 maps in each bag.
Oh, wow.
So that they have, you know, hey, here's where I can go.
Is there an online resource people can get this stuff?
And all the stuff that's in the bags is on our website.
Okay. Awesome.
So for folks that, you know, we primarily geared those towards folks that are new, that are buying new machines, that might not have any idea of, okay, now that I have this thing, where do I go? What do I do?
Yeah.
So that's a kind of a tool for them. But all the stuff is on our website as well.
And we'll put all the links to that in the show notes. Yeah, people can access it.
So we're excited about that program and getting that off the ground. And obviously, as sales continue to grow, we're going to continue to provide those materials. And we're looking to do more outreach with additional dealerships beyond those two. So if anybody hears this that's interested and wants information in their dealerships, just give me a buzz. My number's on the website.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds awesome.
Well, I guess another aspect of what we do here at Parks is grant funding. So off-highway vehicle decal sales, they're $25 a year, and they're good for a year from the date of purchase.
Who needs a decal?
Any vehicle that's riding in Arizona is required to have a decal now. With us having such a large winter resident population, they actually brought forth legislation to contribute. They said, hey, we're here, you know, 6 months a year. We ride a lot. We want to contribute. So the non-resident community actually established a non-resident riding decal bill.
Well, that's cool. They brought it forward like that.
Yeah,
that was very kind of them.
Yeah, I like that.
Because they realized, like, you know, we're very fortunate here with the number of trails that we have and how open our access is. So, yeah, anybody in the state has to have a decal. And those monies that are raised with those sales actually come to us, the Game and Fish Department, and the State Land Department. So we get 60%.
Excuse me, sorry.
Go ahead and cut that.
We get 60% of that.
Listen, Morty, we gotta listen. So Arizona State Parks and Trails receive 60% of all decal sales, and we use the large majority of that for grants. And we use that for law enforcement, education, trail building, support facilities, so that when people go out, they have, you know, well-maintained trails to ride.
Yeah, who can apply for those grants?
Really? Grants are open to anyone. We have clubs that can apply. We have law enforcement agencies. We've really tried to break out our grant programs to allow anybody that's interested in supporting the off-highway vehicle community to come forward and apply for grants. We have several tools on our website so that folks can see where their money's going, because that's a
definitely
big question we get.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm buying this thing. What's it doing? So we have a tracking sheet that highlights the last 3 years of projects that have been awarded, has some photos for those, and then it shows the progress bar to show where they're at in their process. We also have an interactive map that shows all of our grant programs, not just motorized. And it shows where projects have been funded statewide. So you can see what's funded where throughout the state, and that information's on our grant page.
So what kind of, so we know that, you know, government agencies and maybe some tribal agencies get grants to make their trails better and things like that. So what would a private citizen do with a grant? Like what can they do with that?
So what we'll see a lot of is off-highway vehicle clubs, whether they're social through Facebook or they're an organized 501c3, they'll come forward and they'll do cleanups. They'll partner with land managers, whether it be BLM, Forest Service, State Land, whatever, and they'll do cleanups. So we've seen just about everything. We've seen education. We've seen trail cleanups. We've seen trail development. So it's
what about
really
safety programs?
Safety programs. We've done tons of that. I was actually with Game and Fish before I came to Parks. I was there for 2.5 years, and one of my projects there was developing a youth-based education program.
Sweet.
So we have the Quail Kids program with Game and Fish.
My kids got their picture taken with that quail cutout.
Yeah.
They liked it.
So yeah, we do all kinds of education. Well, not us, but Game and Fish does. And yeah, that was one of the grants that I was, you know, responsible for when I first was at Game and Fish. So it's, yeah, there's all kinds of programs available out there within our grant system.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I mean, you talked about how cool the community is and how unique and diverse it is. And it really, I mean, you have these clubs that are maintaining the trails for maybe people that haven't been out there before and haven't gotten into that part of it yet. So you have these veteran riders or nonprofits or whoever maintaining the trails for everyone else. And that's really cool.
I think it's so
cool. Like, there's so many different facets of this community that you're all there for one reason.
One, and two, we get, I mean, like you said, we get people that are coming literally from around the world.
Yeah.
We have so many trails available, and we have a lot of adventure trails too, like the Arizona Peace Trail and the Great Western Trail, where you can ride the entire state. You know, the Great Western Trail goes from Mexico all the way up to Canada.
That's a bucket list trail.
I know, right?
Heck yeah.
We have about 800 miles of that trail here in Arizona from Mexico to Utah.
So people just load up, they have their camping gear in there, and they just drive.
Well, the nice thing is, like with the Arizona Peace Trail, that one goes from Yuma all the way up to Kingman. And it's a loop trail. So you can ride it 675 miles. Mickey and I actually did it back in last March. And
Mickey's the guy you knocked out.
Yeah, Mickey's my supervisor that I knocked out.
Yep. Sorry to bring up a sore subject. I just want to see your face. You know, I said that.
It was worth it. Yeah. It was worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we did the whole
thing. So he still gets in the vehicle with you?
No, he rode his own on that.
Oh, okay.
But we did the whole 675 miles, and the whole time out of 10 vehicles, we only had one flat tire. So it was
That's awesome.
You mentioned packing up your camping gear, you know, that you could ride, you know, top to bottom and camp along the way. But what we did, and what a lot of folks do, is they'll ride from town to town, and you can support these local smaller communities, stay in their hotels, eat at their restaurants, get gas. So really, the off-highway vehicle community brings a huge economic impact to these smaller communities that wouldn't have it otherwise.
Right. And not just residents. I mean, like you said, they come from all over the world.
We had a group from
maybe Sweden. Not so much right now, but
yeah. But I mean, before all this, there was folks from Sweden and all kinds of places calling and saying, hey, I want to come ride the Peace Trail. What do I need?
That's awesome.
And it's like, wow, okay, this is, you know, we're really on the map. And I think as we continue down this path of developing our GIS information and establishing more motorized mapping tools for the riding public, I think once those go live, we'll really be seeing a huge spike in non-resident riders coming here to experience what we have to offer.
And we have tons.
Yeah, and you can ride, the best part is you can ride year-round. I mean, when it's hot, you can go up north. When it's cold up there, you can ride down here. So it's awesome.
Dude. Well, man, I think that should about cover it. I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff today, and we really appreciate you being here and talking to us.
I'm happy to be able to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to share what we do in the Off-Highway Vehicle Program.
And yeah, love what you guys are doing. And I love learning that the community itself is so active in making it better for other users, because I think they want to recruit more people into it anyways. But
yeah,
dude, this is a lot of really cool info.
Definitely. And we'll put all of those resources that we talked about, and your contact information is on those pages. So if you have any questions, you can refer to those, contact Matt, join the group, all that good stuff. So
absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you guys. This is awesome.
So everybody stay safe out there, and we'll see you next time. Hey guys, thanks for listening today. And if you enjoyed what you heard, we'd like to talk with you more.
Yeah, definitely. So we have a really cool group on Facebook that you can join. It's called Explore AZ State Parks. And we talk about hikes. Me and Neil are in there on our personal accounts talking to people and giving tips and all that good stuff.
There's a lot of cool stuff on there.
Definitely. And there's a few other things you can do too to help us out.
Well, you can subscribe to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. If you like the episode, you definitely want to make sure that you know when the next one's coming out.
Could probably share it with your friends.
Share it with your friends. And I would even go so far as to ask them for a review, Neil.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Randy. We'd love for you to review our podcast.
Yeah. So there's like this little button where there's like 5 stars. We'd love to see 5 stars on there.
That'd be great. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks.